You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Some say money is bad for the soul, bad for the rock, bad for the roll, bad for the heart, bad for the brain, bad for everything. Oh yeah!
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, 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 because it's always about the money. I'm really excited because we've got breaking news today. The Fed announcing an interest rate adjustment. I think somewhat of a surprise to some prognosticators. Most expected a quarter point reduction in the interest rate. Instead, we saw a half point reduction. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, finishing up his remarks on the interest rate adjustment just about a little bit over a half an hour ago, if I'm doing my math correctly. And I'm so excited to be joined by an expert in these matters, Catherine Ann Edwards, an economist at the Groundwork Collaborative. She's worked at the Economic Policy Institute. She's an expert on labor markets and unemployment, Social Security, economic inequality, and poverty. Most importantly, she got her PhD from my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Welcome now to the Maggie Dawn Show, Badger Catherine Ann Edwards. Thank you so much for stepping in. We were going to have Dr. Mahboud. Please give her our best. We understand she had a conflict. And thank you so much, Catherine, for stepping in this afternoon.
No problem.
This week's theme has been about the powers that be, the things that sometimes people, the unseen hands that impact people's economic health and their family's livelihood. And when it comes to money, from an institutional perspective, the Federal Reserve probably has an incredible impact on people's everyday economic lives, but they don't really realize it in many instances. We call it the Fed. If folks, you hear people talking about the Fed, they mean the Federal Reserve. The Fed's job is to manage monetary policy, and they do that through a number of tools. The one that we hear probably the most about, Catherine, is the Fed's interest rate policy, either raising or lowering interest rates, given certain macroeconomic indicators in the United States. Today, again, the Fed cut interest rates by half a percentage point. It was the central bank's first cut in interest rates since 2020, basically since COVID. So a pretty remarkable moment. Catherine, let's start with the basics. Why did the Fed cut the interest rate today?
Because they're very worried about the labor market. So the Fed has what we call a dual mandate. They need to balance in the economy a steady and slow growth in prices, which is inflation. I've been joking that we need to have another word for inflation when it's out of control, like badflation.
Yeah.
Or maybe just have like a regular flation, like there's deflation and inflation. Right. But there is, and it's two words to describe three things, which is inflation we like, inflation we don't like, and deflation, which is bad. The other mandate is to keep unemployment low. Now, the reason why this dual mandate is very difficult for them to manage is because kind of classic economic theory would tell us that these two needs are often in conflict. Mm-hmm. And that the kind of better prices are doing, you know, if you need to bring down inflation, you have to bring up unemployment, and that there's kind of a natural trade-off to these two things. I don't know how much that's the case anymore, because we're not in the 1940s economy or 1950s economy, but when inflation took off, as we were coming out of the pandemic, the Fed was pretty slow to cut interest rates because they didn't want to jeopardize the labor market coming out of the pandemic. A lot of people were looking for jobs. A lot of people were coming back from being fired at the start of the pandemic, and they waited to cut rates. And now, as inflation has fallen to 2.5%, there's a real worry that the labor market is starting to buckle under the pressure. And so they acted in the labor market's best interest today.
How do you think that this Fed rate cut will impact consumers, folks that are listening here in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, the interest rate is just the price. It's the price of borrowing money. So what the Fed does is it is a very special price because the price of borrowing affects your ability to consume things that you don't have to borrow. So interest rates have influence on a lot of things. They influence the banking sector in particular directly through the funds that the Fed charges them, but they influence the market for interest rates, the market for borrowing overall, which hits you as a consumer probably directly through credit card rates. These will be the are very kind of move in time with interest rates are the rates on credit cards, as well as the rates on mortgages, secure loans like for a car, or unsecured loans that aren't credit cards, kind of things that you need to finance. So when the Fed lowers interest rates, it doesn't dictate to the, you know, 100th basis point of what you're being charged, but it influences the direction of is it going to get more expensive or less expensive to borrow. They've been making it more expensive to borrow so that you'd consume less, so that the pressure on prices would fall and that prices would not grow as quickly as they have been. They've been successful at that over the past, you know, year and a half, almost 2 years. And so now they're going to make it easier to borrow so that you can finance things because the longer they make it harder to borrow, the more pressure they put on employers to cut workers.
And just to round out the sort of cause and effect here, when it's more expensive to borrow money, people tend to consume less. That drives down demand. And when demand is going down, you generally, absent other factors, will see prices going down. So raising interest rates, therefore, was a tool the Fed deployed to fight inflation. When the primary concern of the Fed becomes potentially labor market issues, right, they will switch that tool around to try to juice demand, right, and keep folks employed to continue to grow employment. I want to make sure that we've explained those basic macroeconomic cause and effects correctly so people can follow the bouncing ball.
Yeah, it is. It's hard because I always say economists are, we're kind of in the upside down, you know, where we're often rooting for things that are terrible, because that would mean that the economy itself is moving in the direction that we want. You know, inflation is really hard to tame. It hurts a lot of people, as I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to, and it doesn't have an easy cure. We have been through hell these past 2 years. So many consumers have been hurting, and we're like light at the end of the tunnel. Y'all, this was a great day. I think if it weren't an election, we'd probably be talking about it a little differently. This would be, you know, not exactly like parade down the streets, but this is a fantastic day because it's a pretty remarkable feat. Most economists who, sure, we're humans some of the time, but we're economists all of the time. Most economists would have told you 2 years ago, there's no way we're going to bring down inflation if we didn't cause a recession. And they would have told you, like you could have watched CNBC and you would have had 15 different economists tell you, you are not going to get down inflation until unemployment hits 6%. And that didn't happen. So it's hard to tell people, like, here's some cold comfort, something worse didn't happen that you can't fully contextualize. But that is in fact the case.
Thank you so much for that, Catherine. I have sat on the show numerous times that beware the politician that tells you that whatever they do, everything will be sunshine and roses. Sometimes difficult policymaking, and certainly the difficult choices that the Federal Reserve has to make, is in fact about harm avoidance or harm reduction, trying to reduce the negative impacts to shorten what is a painful time period in our economy. And indeed, that was the challenge posed to the Fed here. Do you think, as an economist, Catherine, that the Fed made the right decision today, both in terms of the size of the interest rate cut and the cut itself?
Yes. I was rooting for 50.
And that's what we got.
And that was what we got. We got 50. And that was what I was rooting for. The alternative was that they were going to go with 25, which was a smaller cut. So the last time they met, they don't meet in August. They only cut rates when they meet. They don't meet in August. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like... They could have met sooner if we really needed to, but they met in July, and in July they had June data. And the June data you know, the labor market had some like signs of weakness, but it was still like unemployment rate was still really low. We were still adding jobs at a good clip. And the data that we have gotten since then has been much more troubling about how the labor market is doing. There were a couple things in particular. There was a tick up in the unemployment rate, which was just, it was like one tick too many. Yep. There was a kind of a continued drop off in hires. And then there was a big revision to data that was all downward, which is, it's a totally normal thing to happen. We always revise data because in the US we have high data transparency and integrity. And if we find out that a number is not accurate, we update it. But they all went in the wrong direction. So what I try to tell people, it's like if I told you a hitter had a batting average of 299 versus 300, it's not that different, but it's actually hugely different to say that you have a 300 batting average versus a 299. Like there's a big psychological and emotional hurdle to staying above 300. The Fed kind of has very similar benchmarks of like, yeah, inflation at 2.9 versus 3.0 doesn't mean that much to you, but it means a lot to the Fed. Unemployment yes. going from 4.2 to 4.3 doesn't mean much to you, but it meant a lot to the Fed. And so, you know, emotions matter here more than probably economists let on, because we'd like you to think we're a little scientist, but there's a lot of intuition that goes into it too.
That is Catherine Ann Edwards. She is an economist at the Groundwork Collaborative. She got her PhD at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is our guest for this 3 p.m. episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Why? Because the Fed just announced today that they are reducing interest rates by a half point. When Catherine and I talk about, is it going to be 25 or 50 points? What we're talking about are basis points translated into percentages, which is how we measure interest rates. 50 basis points equals a half percentage reduction. That is what the Fed did today. Again, because the Fed has made a determination that we have gotten through this scary inflationary period, they're now worried about keeping and propping up employment and jobs numbers in the United States. We're going to come back with Catherine, continue to ask her more questions. If you've got a specific question for her, please feel free to use the text line 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We come back. I'm going to ask Catherine, does the Fed deserve the credit for bringing inflation down? What was really going on here? As well as how important is it in capitalistic democracies to have an independent central bank? That seems to be a bit of a point of contention among some candidates for a pretty important political office. We'll talk about it more with economist Catherine Ann Edwards in this edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome back, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every day in the 3 o'clock half an hour slot, we have a segment where we bring on a learned expert to help us understand things, the operating arms of the U.S. economy and the global economy. We try to explain how that impacts your pocketbook, how that impacts your family's wellness. Well, today, big news in the world of economists, the Federal Reserve, the Fed dropping interest rates a half point, exceeding what some thought might be a quarter point interest rate reduction. This signaling, hopefully, the confidence of the Fed that we have ended this period of extended inflation, certainly by the actual measures of inflation, CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and other indicators. We've been steadily coming out of that inflationary period that peaked in around June of 2021 since that time. But is the Fed fully deserving of credit for bringing inflation down? I mean, there are lots of factors that can impact inflationary pressures.
Yeah, actually, I'd give them a lot of credit. I know that they are an unpopular institution with a lot of people, but that's kind of how you know that they're doing their job. Like, if the Fed is winning a popularity contest, that is very concerning, because they are supposed to be, you know, the joke that we used to make in the economics department at Wisconsin amongst the students was, you know, clear eyes, cold hearts, can't lose. Like, you've got to, you know, you've got to focus on steering a massive ship that is the U.S. economy. 165 million people get most of their income from this labor market. We cannot, you know, you can't make radical decisions. You've got to be very steady. And, you know, what they are trying to deliver most on both fronts is predictability and steadiness. And I think that they weren't perfect. They probably waited a little too long to lower rates. They probably waited a little too long to raise them on the front end, yeah. But that's an easy call to make now.
With perfect one of the hindsight,
things that,
yeah.
One of the things that they do pretty well, and I think is definitely in the Powell era true, that they try to be very open and not leave anyone surprised by what they're going to do. And I appreciate that. You know, in some ways, the Fed is not the only actor in policy when it comes to fighting unemployment or fighting inflation, but they are the only actor by default, because Congress tends to not be as kind of reactionary with fiscal policy. Now, they are in recessions, right? When something is going bad in the economy and we're heading to a recession, Congress is going to pass a lot of relief measures. They're going to, you know, boost unemployment, and they try to kind of prevent a downside. But certainly, you know, with inflation, there is a fiscal policy that can help bring down inflation, and that's raise taxes. And that is a policy that would have hit higher income households, the ones who had maintained higher demand and consumption longer, but Congress doesn't want to do that. So I appreciate that the Fed has a mandate, stuck to it, didn't do it perfectly, but did what they were supposed to do. It's important to have independence in policymaking. And I think the Fed has a lot of attention, but there are lots of independent agencies that make policy that influence you. This is the one that you've definitely heard of.
One really critical thing there. I have heard from numerous conservatives claiming that the interventions adopted by the Biden-Harris administration in the wake of COVID were to blame for inflation. Again, there were so many things going on that added to this, not the least of which was a massive supply chain disruption. But you mentioned something that I have pointed to many times, and that is massive tax cuts for some of the wealthiest households in the country. That creates an incredible amount of inflationary pressure. And we certainly saw the impacts of that Trump tax cut in the inflationary cycle we got into. The second thing I always like to make sure that people understand is the impacts of a tax cut or a stimulus bill, right, to try to stave off a recession, aren't always immediate. You're going to see these different factors often with lagging impacts. So just wanted to emphasize those two points. You've talked about a data transparent, just because we're running out of time, I wanted to be sure that you got the opportunity to talk about the importance of data transparency, the independence of agencies like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, right? And the independence of the Fed. This is essential to a functioning economy, both data transparency, accuracy, the independence of the BLS and the Fed. If you could address that briefly, Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, politicians don't like when the economy does poorly on their watch. And that makes institutions like the Fed and the BLS vulnerable, because they're the ones who are, you know, producing the best data that we have. The BLS was actually viciously attacked during the Nixon administration. And so most of the safeguards from independence from political interfering that we have today, a lot of it goes back to the Nixon administration. So the Fed does incredible work. The BLS does hero work. I mean, much of what we know about our economy comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I think it is a tragedy that they are so underfunded and that because they give us data that might tell us bad news, we refuse to give them extra money and to keep them, you know, into the, like, let them go into the modern era, let the data be even better. I think it's really like, you're going to stick your head in the sand. You're still going to get wet when it rains, right? Like there's nothing you can do to fight that. So I appreciate what they do. They don't get enough recognition. And you know, it's an important part of our economy that we have great data, and our statistical agencies are never going to be mentioned on the campaign trail in a positive way. But they deserve to be front and center and getting more funding.
That is my very special guest, Catherine Ann Edwards. She is an economist, operates her own consultancy business. I incorrectly attributed her work to the Groundwork Collaborative. She does not work with the Groundwork Collaborative. She is an independent consultant. Thank you so much for making time. I'm going to give you the takeaway here, folks. Why does this matter? Because it affects your pocketbook. Understanding this stuff deeply matters. Here's a couple questions to ask any candidate you're considering voting for, especially if they're running for a federal office. Two questions. Do you believe in additional funding for the Bureau of Labor Statistics? And secondly, do you believe in the independence of the Federal Reserve? The answers to those two questions should be unequivocally yes. And any candidate that waffles on that doesn't deserve your vote. Thanks so much, Catherine. That'll do it for this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We'll be back with more. We're going to talk a little about Tyreek Hill. We're going to talk a little bit more about the lurker in the bushes at the Trump golf course this past weekend. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.